Hello, Exile. If you're hearing this, you're listening to the Still Sane podcast on Spotify, Apple, or another podcasting service. If you're doing that, I'm missing out on some YouTube goodness, some juiciness to the YouTube channel, which is the primary way of growing this whole ordeal. So if you'd like, if you really enjoy the podcast, please leave a review on Apple or Spotify. Give it 5 stars, give it 4 stars, whatever. It'll help boost my reach there and hopefully encourage me to continue to post there and grow my presence on these podcasting platforms. Yes, it does cost a decent chunk of money to post these onto them. I know it's shocking, but it is true. All right, enjoy the podcast. Thanks, Exiles.
Let's go.
All right. Hey, Exiles, it's been a while since the last Still Sane pod. I am here sitting down tonight with Off Meta Michael, one of the very first individuals we had on the channel in the lead up to Path of Exile 2's early access launch. And now here we are, 4 weeks into 020 Dawn of the Hunt, and we're going to talk about the patch, give some feedback, and just be pretty chill for the next hour or so. Michael, man, how you doing tonight?
Doing awesome, man. I feel great. Good. Unlike the last time we talked, when I basically had laryngitis.
Yeah, and all the props to you. I barely heard it in your voice. You told me and you were like, oh, dude, I basically couldn't talk.
Yeah, I was powering through it. And then right when it ended, I was like...
Fell over. Yeah. And then you were like sick for what, a few weeks after, right?
Yeah, for like several weeks after. Oh. Yeah, it was horrible.
Okay, so hopefully somehow I don't give a curse to you or anything and you're totally fine after this podcast and we're chill and we just have a nice healthy discussion. So
sure.
Michael, on your channel, which will be linked in the description below, by the way, everybody, make sure you go subscribe to it. You've been providing some pretty consistent and fair feedback on a lot of Path of Exile 2, especially for 020. Now, before we dive into some of that specific feedback, which hopefully is seen by Grinding Gear Games and the rest of the community, I'm curious, what's your primary goal and focus here, providing those really consistent, almost daily videos just about things that you care about? What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, so I did the same thing with Diablo 2 when I was going hard on that and making lots of content. I would constantly do series of videos where I would critique crappy items, uniques, systems in the game that were getting no use that if they were updated could create new build diversity and stuff. So the thing I'm just kind of sensing a lot when I'm playing PoE2 is there's a lack of balance. Like, I like the vision, I don't like the balance.
Okay.
So I like the idea of creating a build with combinations and finding skill synergies, you know, and pathing through the tree, and it's pretty intuitive. Like, if you just read it, you know, I like that. I just find that a lot of these skills that I try just don't work at all. You know, like it, like zombies or something, like you just unplayable, or like the new nerf to hex blast, unplayable, unless of course you get all of the exact right nodes and the exact right support and all that.
Right.
Of course, then it's playable and the unique to activate it immediately, the curse immediately. I know, but like, I just am finding that there's like a lot of tight requirements on everything. And so, and I'm also listening to people in the community on comments on other videos and listening to other creators. And I'm seeing a theme of tedium, you know, like that's one theme. People are feeling that the campaign is tedious. People are feeling that waystones are tedious. And I'm just trying to think of like ways to make the game have more balance and more fun, you know, at the same time. And so that's kind of why I'm like doing these short videos, like on a daily basis now. Also, after we talked, I just like went like MIA, you know,
you did.
I was like, I just was like, well, I wasn't feeling good first of all, but like then also I just kind of wanted to play the game. And during that time I played it a lot. I made a ton of builds, but like, I didn't want to showcase anything, partially because I felt like really mixed on it. Like I was pretty frustrated throughout my like mapping experience in that game. I was pretty smitten during the campaign, right? You know,
many like, of us were like, yeah,
like act one was just like, I was just like, this is it, this is so great, you know. Like, And I really loved it, man. We actually had, like, me and my brother and a really close friend of ours who's like a brother. The three of us were playing the first patch, and there was a running joke, actually, that my buddy had that was like, you're more calm in an emergency room than you are playing this game. And it's because of the freaking bullshit that was in the end game in the first patch, you know, where you just get one shot, you lose the map, you lose the mechanic, like 10% of your experience, like all that stuff. I'm glad they changed that. Like, so glad, you know, it's been way better this patch for that. Like, way better.
I think the tedium still exists in many areas, but a lot of the stress, I feel like, has faded away, especially in the endgame. I'm not feeling that, you know, being more stressed than in an emergency room when I'm playing anymore. But I totally get that. You know, when the game first came out, right, the first few days after, I was taking it so slow. And I took, I think, 35 hours to get to endgame. And I made a premature video that was talking about people hating on the game. And one of the topics that I tackled that I now regret, right, was talking about the end game, and I was like, dudes, chill, don't make all these conclusions on the end game. It's, you can't make these conclusions, you barely played it. And then, you know, 25 hours later, I get there and I'm like, holy hell.
Oh my god,
they're all right. And look, I have egg on my face, I look like a total fool. And I've really tried
I wanted to say something, I wanted to make videos, and I was like, let's just wait, because I'm going to be super pissed off, or I'm going to be dismissive of something. And I just didn't want to do that. Plus, like, my channel, you know, like, off meta, it's like, I can't make any off meta builds. Like, I'm just getting wrecked, you know, like, none of the builds that I was making at the time when I was first getting going were really making it, you know, right. So now, though, it's a little different. Like, we've had a lot of time pass. And to me, it's like, if you can have a build like in T15 maps, I think it counts. I don't care like what it's doing. If it's doing T15, I think you have a build, you know?
I agree.
And so once I went through and played a bunch, I made like a ton of builds the first league, and I only have one build on the new patch. Because I just don't, I'm just like, I don't feel like making build after build after build this patch, really.
Right.
I'm just going to do one.
Hey, let's be real. Yeah. Do you think that balance is worse in 0-2-0 than 0-1-0? Like, do you feel like people are more like corralled in, and there's like more limitations, and like you have to play Evasion Energy Shield? Can you play like Life in Armor? I know you, this is one of the topics we can talk about, but you are corralled into specific areas, and because the way the game is played still, like in tier 15 maps and beyond, like with Lightning Spear, dude, okay? Let's be real. The reason it's super popular, yes, it's easy to build. Yes, it's easy to play, but it also checks all the boxes necessary to progress into the game, right? With a few extra things on top.
Like, right? How are you supposed to do Breach unless you can just like, boom, bam.
Right.
And you can't.
And here's the silly thing. It's so satisfying when you do encounter Breach. It has that mix, right? And I really wish there was more skills like that. Like, you know?
Yeah. I had two builds or three builds last patch that could all do Breach really well. One was just an Invoker Ice Strike Monk, and you know, I used the double chaining Herald thing like everybody else did. The only difference with mine during that was I was also using Ball Lightning with Lightning Warp and like laying Shocked Ground and then like Tele Stomp bombing with like a Frozen Locust to get things going. And I really loved that, but then they nerfed the Ball Lightning Warp interaction. You can no longer lay Shocked Ground with that. And I was like, you bastards, like that's like, it wasn't even that good, you know, and it takes two skill slots, like, and you took it away. Right. So anyway, this league, I'm using like Gathering Storm to lay Shocked Ground for things now. And then I had another build that could do it, like my Infernalist Monk that was using Shattering Palm.
I saw that.
And Shattering Palm is like, I think people are like starting to use that in Frozen Locust more now. But I was using those like last league all the time.
Shout out to Arrow. That was like his baby of the patch, last patch. And then he was going to start it this patch. And I think they annihilated the gem, like Shattering Palm's damage secretly.
Yeah. So, but it's still good. It's still good for its effect that it can have.
Right.
You know, so like it gives you that AoE and it like chain explodes and it can chain off other things. It's actually still pretty good. So I'm using it. And then like I had another guy that was like, It was a Titan, And I tried to do something cool with it where I had like a quarterstaff on swap and then a really nice mace and shield on the other. And I would do like a wind blast, like prime everything and then bone shatter. And I had took all the AoE nodes and it would just like clear the screen.
You know? That's cool. See, that's cool.
Yeah, and it was a cool build and it was like ice based and stuff. I had like cold infusion on wind blast. So wind blast was causing a lot of the pops to begin with. And I got a hold of the Porcircle ring.
Nice pronunciation.
I think I pronounced that right now, by the way.
I think you're good, dude.
Porcircle. Yeah. And it's so hard to say. And so I got a hold of that and that wasn't like, I don't know. I didn't feel like showing it because it was like, it's just popping the screen. Like, I don't find it that interesting. I don't know. Uh-huh. So I just didn't make a video about it. And then the other thing that I didn't like was that character had mostly like, you know, evasion and armor type nodes and stuff, or gear. Yeah. And he only had like 3,000 life. And if he would just get one shot, like out of nowhere all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, dude, armor sucks. Like, and so that pissed me off. So then I got wise like everybody else and just made everything energy shield.
That's,
you know,
it's the way to go.
And that's what I'm doing now. I have my character right now is spear, quarterstaff, invoker with meditate. So I have, you know, 8,000 effective life.
I saw you do the megalith within the vision. Mad respect. Yes. It was good. It was a good video.
Yeah, lots of combos, right? Lots of dodging and moving and dancing around. Yeah, and I like that. I think it's fun to play like that. It was like the most fun I had this league was doing that megalith with that build.
Dude, I'm two nodes away from a megalith. So I've not done it yet. I'm quite excited to get it go.
It's fun, man. I think that's like a really great mechanic. I would love to see like other maps have like a boss in it that just runs up out of nowhere before you even get to the other boss that's like on the map or something. You know, like I wouldn't mind a boss run up on you and you're like, oh shit, there's a boss. And then like you kill him, run towards the next boss. Like there's two or three bosses in that map. Like it doesn't have to happen all the time, but like,
oh yeah.
I was a big fan of the megalith, man. I thought it was awesome.
I can't wait to hop into that. It's kind of what they're doing with the Rogue Exiles, but I feel like that may have fallen a bit flat for me. Maybe I just haven't. I tried investing briefly, but it really didn't seem to do anything with my points. I swapped into the Wisps. Let's not talk about the Wisps today. And then I just went to the base like, all right, let's just juice pack size. Let's do rarity. Let's do waystone. How do you feel about the Rogue Exiles? Because that is kind of they're supposed to appear in the map. They got the boss health bar. They rush at you. There's supposed to be these challenges. And I've either had two scenarios. One, I annihilate them. Or two, they flask for like a minute straight, and I'm like, you.
That's what I was gonna say. Is I had one where he just kept flasking, and I was like, wow, he just keeps healing, and then I just got like a really good hit on him, and he just died in one shot. You know, like I just set up everything. It was like, okay, shocked ground exposure, like wind up, gathering storm. It crit, boom, he was dead. So like that's kind of how the Rogue Exiles go now. Is you see them and they end up dying in a hit or two or three. Yeah. I don't know what's going on there. I was under the impression too. I also think that like you tend to run into them and there's like a bunch of monsters around or something. Yep. And sometimes you might just like clear the monsters and then whatever herald you have or anything else just kind of like chains and kills the thing on accident. You didn't even see them.
Yep.
Maybe they need to make a little bit more of an intro or something.
I was thinking about this. They have
like have them off the side of a map and then like they're kind of in their own arena or something and then buff their HP a lot and stuff.
Buff their HP. Maybe they make a portal entrance too. So you kind of see them walk through. And I was also thinking just increase their character model size. You know, we have the ability to do that. Just maybe boost it by like 30%. So they kind of tower
a little more visible. Yeah,
right. Exactly. They're in Path of Exile 1. I know you played a little bit of it, but there are these things. These bosses called the Conquerors of the Atlas, and they're basically players who got addicted to PoE1 and they kept going to maps and grinding, and then they got sucked in the Atlas, blah, blah, blah. But they have these projections that are much larger versions of themselves. I think a cooler version of Rogue Exiles in PoE2 would be exactly that. Like their projections, and since they are supposed to be more boss oriented, and they're not, you know, in PoE1, you can fight 10 Rogue Exiles at once because they're just monsters. In PoE2, turn them into those bosses, just boost their size up, make them tankier, turn them into a real event.
There was like, I don't know if it was in Cruel or what, but at some point in the campaign, I had a few encounters with them that seemed like I had to actually move around more and like go back and forth with them. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, this is really cool. you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. So, like, I think they just need to tweak them a little bit. And then, like, mm-hmm. you were talking about, have them make an entrance, maybe with a portal or mm-hmm. or just, or like I was saying, like, maybe there's, like, a, maybe they show up on the minimap, mm-hmm. kind of like rares do.
Okay, that's
and,
a good idea.
And just give them, like, their own section, you know, or something.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an alternate, like, another boss fight in the minimap. Like, they should feel a little bit more like a boss fight, I think.
I think so.
That's
yeah.
all. And I don't think it would be that hard for them to fix that.
Yeah, no. A lot of minor tweaks. A lot of the things, too, you guys, that we're talking about, even though we're kind of calling them out as huge problems, I feel like minor tweaks to these things could solve a lot of the issues. Kind of like, let's talk about Hex Blast again, Michael, because you've made a few videos on that, and then we can dive back into, like, armor and life. So, sure. Grindr Games is, like, they're famous for this thing. The triple tap nerf, where they see something, they believe it's busted, and in many cases, maybe it's a little busted, and then they will nerf it once, nerf it twice, and then just for good measure, slap another nerf right on top of it and just completely eviscerate the build.
Yeah. And Hex Blast got three nerfs. It was no longer synergistic with Blasphemy Aura.
Yep.
The amount of targets that it could hit went down. I think it was like 9 before, and now it's like 3 or 4. And then what was the other one? Oh, and then, of course, the duration. That's like the whole video I made today. The duration, half of a curse's duration has to expire before you can even cast it and hit something with it. So you end up, like, missing. And now, like, I know that you have to get reduced skill effect and you have to get the support in despair and all that and instant curse activation. I know, but that's the only way you can do it. And so, like, I just think that if they made it so that Hex Blast could be applied as like a detonator or like a bomb, kind of like just almost like a curse, like you just cast it on them and you notice it's on them. Mm-hmm. Once they're cursed, then it starts reading. It'll read if the curse duration has been has gone, you know, and then it can just blow up. So that way you can cast Hex Blast before or after, and then it just would feel smooth to play, because that way if you don't invest in any of the skill effect reduction, then you could just cast Hex Blast. Maybe you jump in with Hand of Chayula on a monk and curse them. And then you're ice striking or your frozen locust backflip. And then it's like frozen locust goes off, Hex Blast goes off. Maybe you have chaotic freeze. So it's synergizing with this new chaos build you're making. I'm just saying, like, there's ways to make all of these skills work and be smoother to play. That's all, you know? And so I'm thinking about these things a lot. Actually, like when I'm testing out stuff and playing stuff, there's so many things I tried that just were just not viable at all, you know?
And you are playing in like the realm of the vision, right? The combo based gameplay, I'm using multiple skills. So when you're approaching this feedback, it is in that realm. It's not just, oh, it's not powerful. It's no, it just feels bad to play. Here are a few simple ways to maybe shift it up to change that gameplay style and not shoehorn it, which is something we were talking about a little bit before the pod started recording, but it seems like with some of these changes, they're all, maybe it's inadvertently happening, but they seem to be wanting the players to play certain skills one way, right? And not in multifaceted ways, you know, giving that freedom that games like Path of Exile or like, I'm sure Diablo 2, I'm not sure, are known for, where you play it in multiple ways. Was that true in Diablo 2? I didn't play a lot. I know you're the expert, so I'll defer.
I mean, I made a lot of things work in Diablo 2. So, like, Diablo 2, it's different because the cross-contamination of skills in Diablo 2 is tied to specific uniques and rune words in that game. So it's tied to gear. So you can cross-contaminate skills in that game, but it's difficult to do a lot of times. Okay. And it's usually not optimal, but... Okay. I basically made all those builds. That's why I was so excited for Path of Exile 2. Was Path of Exile 2 leans in, or supposed to lean into that, right? It's supposed to be like all the skills are available, it's your playground, like make the build, you know, that you want to try to make. And I'm finding that the stat requirements on things are too high to experiment. Like if you take off a ring or a pair of boots, you can't even use your skills anymore. And then you're definitely not going to be able to experiment with like a different skill that's like, say, intelligence based or dexterity based if you're, you know. So I'm finding that like things are so tight all the time on the builds that I'm making where like if I wanted to add something else in, I can't because I just, you know, I have to literally change all my gear just to kind of make all that work now. And so Diablo 2 didn't have that much of a problem with that. So like Diablo 2, the stat requirements were not so tight. Like you had some high stat requirements once in a while for things. It really wasn't that hard to overcome. And if you wanted to mix and match things in that game, if you wanted to switch out some gear, like, oh, I'm going to try this unique now. It didn't brick all of your res and take your stats down. And now you can't use your skills. You know, in Diablo 2, actually, skills aren't tied to stats. You don't need strength to use.
Just the skill trees, right?
Yeah, and it's just, and I'm not saying that Path of Exile 2 needs to have no requirements, but I think if they reduced it by 10%, maybe 15%, then at least you'd be able to try some other skill gems on your character, you know? Like, there was a character, like, there was a, I was trying on my build, for example, in this patch, I was like, oh, what if I want to put Blink into my kit, you know?
Good luck.
And it was like, well, you need a level 14 spirit gem and however much intelligence. And I was like, ah, shit. So I can't even put it in because I don't have enough intelligence at the time. Is it at the time? I think I have enough now on my character now that he's level 88 now. So, but it's kind of like, you know, and it all also, if I take off my chest piece right now on my current character on this patch, he can't even re-equip the chest piece because it has 32 intelligence on it. Yeah.
The relic like, from POE1. Yep.
Yeah. So, like, I have to, like, go in my stash and find, like, a pair of boots that has intelligence on it. Those on, then put my chest piece back on, and then put my boots back on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, the stats are way too tight. If I can't even equip my gear, you know, like, it's a little too tight. Like, and it's not, I don't even have, like, a min-max build. You know, I'm just, like, I'm just playing the game with the vision, you know, trying to, I have so many skills that I use on my character. It's like, it would be dizzying for people who just play one button builds, you know, like there'd be no way you'd be able to sort through all of it. You know, I actually want more skill slots.
I heard that in your latest video and I do agree with you because the buffs also take up skill slots and the game is built in such a manner that you will almost be using spirit on every character. You're going to be using at least two or three of those skill slots for buffs. You're not just going to say, okay, I'm going to disregard auras and, yeah, I think there are a few scenarios where you can like trade off all your spirit for some power. I can't remember. Is it Acolyte of Chayula? Is it? Yeah, it's Acolyte of Chayula. Yeah, right.
You can get
But you're gonna be using spirit. So I this brings us to a top. Let's just go into it. I watched your latest video today. I think it released like 5 hours ago or something. And I disagree with you hard on a lot of it. Actually, it was about adding more rewards to the campaign, which I do agree on. I think a lot of the rewards in the campaign are pretty shite right now with the gems and the like. It's not
like
exciting.
You're the support gem and you're like, okay.
It's like, do I really want, like, this isn't too exciting, right? And your solution was to perhaps add some notable level power gains as rewards to quests and the like. I think the more elegant solution, and it's stupid simple, and you did mention it in your video, is to perhaps just tie more passive points to these quests when we go throughout. Or I think another solution is to introduce players, maybe in Acts 4, 5, and 6, to rare items and tiered rare items, right? Like seeded rares, essentially. Because, right, oh, we may have lost Michael. Do we have Michael? Still here, man?
Oh, it's weird.
Yeah, I'm having a windstorm in my area.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, Michael, you're good.
I can hear you.
Oh, fantastic. I can hear you. You're good.
Hello?
You're good. Light technical issues, Exiles.
I can hear you. Let's see. Yeah.
I think it's passed. Yeah. You're smooth now. You're smooth now.
I don't know. I was saying the.
Oh, no. Chat, is it me or is it Michael?
You keep cutting in and out for me, but I don't know.
It's not me. Oh, it might be you. Okay, you're smooth now. I think you're good. Yeah, you're good.
Okay, we good?
I see. We're good. I was sorry.
Right,
okay, back to the quest rewards. Yeah,
you disagree. You said seated like tiered rares, right?
Tiered rares because it's a system. I know it's introduced in Endgame, but having a set of rare items that you could choose from quests in Acts 4, 5, and 6, I think would be really exciting. And then introducing players to, unidentified items that are tier 2 are better than tier 1, and just having that system, as opposed to just having, here's a flat 10% increase to attack and melee cast speed. I think that's fun, woven throughout as it's currently in the game, right? Where you have the choices in some areas. But I think instead of adding more of that, maybe adding like actual items as rewards would be a good idea. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Or maybe like a quest that gives you like 5 exalts.
Yes.
You know, just in it, and you can't redo it, you know, like just because currency seems sometimes can be so like scarce. I don't know. Like, you know, this patch, I felt like I really didn't get any currency like in the campaign.
Yeah,
it was really tight. You know,
it was. I totally agree.
But my, like, some of the loot.
Oh, something just happened. Hello.
Yeah.
Then we just we're having slight technical issues. We're good now.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, oh, did you just hang up on me? Yeah.
Yeah, you're done. You're done. I'm cutting you off. You're getting too close to the secret sauce. No, we're good.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So there was definitely like, yeah, I. Definitely open to feedback on that. Like that doesn't I'm not like super strong on the opinion about the request rewards for that, but I was just trying to think, like, when I'm playing the campaign right now, what are all the quests that I only do the ones that give me a buff to my character.
True.
I don't do any of the other ones.
Yeah.
So like, if you want me to do them, give me a reason to do them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think that they should get a little creative in that second part of the campaign. And I even think now you said, you know, Exalted Orbs is rewards. They need to add a crafting quest to Act 1. I'm going to keep saying it. I've been saying it since the first week after launch, just to dip people's toes into it. I talk about my dad a lot because he's playing PoE 2. And he'd played Diablo 4, but before that, he hadn't played like an ARPG since Diablo 2 when I played with him when I was very little. And after like a week and a half of playing, I went over to their house and he, you know, wanted to show me his character and everything. And he showed me his stash and he hadn't used a single currency orb. He just hoarded them all. And I'm like looking at his items. I'm like, Dad, you're wearing a white pair of boots and you're level 29, dude. What do you do? And he just didn't know. Like, he's like, oh, he's a hoarder. He used to play like all these old school RPGs where it's like, well, I could use that later. I could use that. I might not want to use it now. I want to save it for good item, right? So adding that tutorialization with the crafting orbs, I think it would be a big win. Really big.
I think it'd be fine. I think it'd be fine, especially if you got like an exalt at the end of it or something. Mm-hmm. Because even that way, even if like you're like, oh, I don't need a tutorial.
Yeah.
You'll be like, well, I get the exalt at the end. 100%. So I'll grab that and then I won't use it on the item they want me to use it on for the quest. I'll just use it on my spear or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Like something like that might be good. I just want them to like give better rewards, I think, for some of these quest items. Getting like a skill gem on a fresh character. Okay, I'll say this. On a very fresh character, brand new league, you might need the skill gem actually. That I think they put in there, they said even because some people were getting unlucky and not dropping them. So I kind of get that. But going through Cruel again, you know, that's also part of the tedium, I think, is having to redo the axe in Cruel. Once we have the new axe, 4, 5, and 6, if they have cool rewards, then I think it'll be a lot better and the new scenery will be nice. Oh. And hopefully they'll get the progression a little better too.
Yeah.
You know, because you kind of blast through Cruel, right? Although, gosh, people are already think it's a slog, so I don't know, but you know what I mean. So it's like, if it's fun though, then it's fine. But I don't know. I want the campaign to be awesome,
ditto,
and not feel like I just need to get through it all the time. I'd like it to be good. I definitely think they should take people's feedback though. Like, I'm glad they cut Act 3 down. I think that's good. You know,
especially the reason. Like, reading the reasoning is kind of wild. They're just like, yeah, there's supposed to be a boss here, but the boss isn't there. We left the area in for some reason. So people kept going down that dead end. I was going down that dead end every single time and then getting lost. It's so funny just reading all that.
They're like, oh, there's actually more content here. And everyone's like, there's more? Make it less. What are you talking about? Yeah.
So I'm like, are they going to add it in? And like, they're not going to add it. It's so interesting. Maybe they just add that boss to endgame, you know?
Okay. Yeah, right. Just add it in there. If it was in there and it gave you skill points, then you'd be like, oh, sweet. Mm-hmm. You know?
Very true. Yep.
I'll take skill points every day, every time, every quest. I don't care. But like that, because that's fun for building your character, you know?
Yep. Yeah. I love the way that PoE 1 worked for the most part, where you only got that certain or that surefire buff to your character from the bandit quest, and then the rest of the quest rewards were essentially just passive points. So you could choose how you spend rewards. So these optional quests, and they're not along the main line. So I'm sure they'll continue something along those lines in PoE 2, but I also like to see a little bit more spice involved as you pitched. So it'll be really curious to see
what
4, 5, and 6.
Conversation started on. Yeah. I was trying to throw that out there, like, hey guys, can you please like think about the quest rewards a little bit more before you get point 3 out or acts 4, 5, and 6?
Yeah. Do you think act 4 will come in point 3?
Oh,
do you think?
I really hope so.
Man, I
honestly, man, I'm only doing one character this league, I think. Is like I played the first 3 acts in Cruel many, many, many times already. Okay.
10 characters, right? In point 1?
I think I rolled like 7 and then like tried different things with some of them, you know.
Okay, got it.
I ended up making a bunch of builds off of some of those. Like some of them I would just completely respec and then try something totally different. Like I do like a Titan and then change them into like a minion build Titan, you know. So that counts as like 2 builds essentially. Okay. But it's like I only leveled to the 1 guy, you know. So yeah, I did a bunch, but yeah, I'm looking forward to the new acts for the campaign. I want to see what's there, and I am looking forward to the druid, man. I know you are too, and I'm a little worried that it's not up to par, you know. And like this will segue into armor, okay? Because
go off, King.
If they don't fix armor, then things like druid, who's armor energy shield based, things like templar, who's armor energy shield based, things like Marauder and Duelist, who are armor life builds, are dead on arrival. Okay? Dead on arrival if you don't fix armor.
I need no armor. I have bear fur. I will be fine. No armor needed. Yeah. It's good.
Okay, fine. Yeah, if you're a bear, maybe you get 5,000% increased life.
Yes. Let's go. No, you're totally right on that, man. And I don't know if you caught my... I became a doomer. After they announced the reveal, because I was so sure druid was coming and I was so sure we were gonna get new acts, and then it's just like, now we focused on endgame entirely, and I'm like, no, oh my god, I hyped all these people up for nothing. I was so excited myself, and I told myself, just think druid is coming in 2028. Don't even think about it. It's just off in the distance. If it comes, it comes. Be happy. But I'm right there with you, man. Secretly I'm so hyped for that druid.
I want the balance to be right on the gear, right? Because
it's going
to
be bad.
Like I was saying, because if life builds and armor builds can't get a little bit more, then it's going to be really tight on making these characters and stuff like it is now. Mm-hmm. And so that's like one of the biggest pain points for me is like, too, there's so much gear that I was like collecting and stashing away, like, oh, I'm gonna make a character with that. And like, I found like god tier like armor and stuff in the game. Like,
I saw
like a helm with over 1,000 armor on it, a chest with over 2,500 armor. And I was like, dude, this is gonna be sick. And then it like just wasn't very good. I don't know. I was like so bummed. And then, in the character, you know, maces are so slow and everything. Like, they really need to do something to make that fantasy come alive. I know you can't. There are people that have made like characters with 9,000 life. They have, but it's so min-maxed to do that. You can't do that with anything. There's no off-meta build for armor. None.
True.
Not none. Okay. Not a single one.
And they fall off in endgame massively, right? It's just...
Yeah, the one-shots are out of control with those builds, with the life pools being smaller. That's why everyone's going energy shield. Like, everyone, you know? So, like, the armor stuff... Okay, so here's an example. On the right side of the tree, there's a node that gives you energy shield based on the evasion rating of your body armor. Mm. There's also another node that
your
gives
helmet,
you...
Right? Your helmet?
Yes, the other one is subterfuge, I think it's called. It gives you evasion rating based on the energy shield of your helmet, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, like, you could wear a body armor that's got 2,000 evasion and then invest into energy shield and invest in that node. And then you could wear an energy shield helmet and then invest in that node and then get both evasion and energy shield, right? Yep. Or just, like, a really nice evasion energy shield chest, and then you get that node, and then it gives you even more energy shield. There's nothing on the left side of the tree for armor for that. There's no node that says gain extra life based on armor rating, or like gain extra life based on your armor and evasion like rating or something.
Yeah.
Yep. Or like, or based on the armor rating of your equipped helmet, or on the armor rating of your equipped boots. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing like that on the left side of the tree.
Yeah, it's like two-pronged. Yeah.
Yeah, like nothing on the bottom and nothing on the left. So like, yep. you can't, an armor evasion build can't really build life either, you know? Yeah. And I just think that that would be one way to help it. The other ways that people have suggested that I've thought of as well would just be like, well, just make armor mitigate better, you know? And it's like the GGG is worried that recoup and regen and life leech and really good mitigation will be so good that you'll never die with that build. Right. You'll just be invincible all the time. They've said that. I heard Jonathan say that. It's and so they have balance. To have one shots happen from yep. like bosses and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but honestly, man, like when I made on the last league, my tankiest build was a little girl wearing rags. She's an infernalist. And she had a doggy running around with her and she had a stick. Okay. And she was really quick and you could see her legs and her arms and her chest. And she was the tankiest character. She had over 10,000 energy shield and basically looked like she never got hurt. Even like I would stand in the middle of a ritual and that was when Chaos Inoculation also was bugged where it was working off your life pool. You
yep.
know, so
yep.
you got all the stun and ailment thresholds.
Can't
still
believe
with
that
it.
left it in that long. It's crazy.
Yeah. So I tried it this league though. So like I went back to standard and tried the build again and the build still functions. I just had to get rid of Chaos Inoculation and just buff my Chaos Res a little. But right. so my tankiest build was literally a girl wearing rags who's like half naked. And then the warrior and the armor type characters were like way less tanky. They couldn't stand in the middle of a ritual. Like mm-hmm. it doesn't even make sense, you know? So that's one of the reasons I started making the videos again was I was just like, this kind of annoys me. Like this really annoys me that the fantasy of the hulking warrior character can only be built one way right mm-hmm. now. And the one way you do it is you get strength and life on all your gear.
Life stacker, and right? That's what you do.
Yeah, and if you don't do that, then you don't have enough life pool.
Mm-hmm.
So high value armor ratings are actually worthless if they mm-hmm. don't have strength and life.
Exactly.
And I think it shouldn't be that way because energy shield armor, for example, if it has a really high roll of energy shield on it, say you got an armor with 800 to 1,000 energy shield, it doesn't matter if it rolls intelligence and mana.
Mm-hmm.
It's valuable in and of itself exactly. just because the rating is high.
Yeah,
because
it's a massive.
Armor does not have this.
Right. Yeah. I'm really curious how they're going to solve this, man. I think with the part with the tree is more understandable from my POV because they only have the warrior in as the only armor archetype. Like nothing else exists. Yeah. Maybe they'll build it out as the Templar, as the Druid, as those other classes come, the Duelist. As those other classes come through and allow for those cool combinations that we have now for literally all the other classes that are just built on evasion and energy shield and everything. But then the other part is the one that I'm more, I guess, confused by is they know this is a problem, right? And I feel like something like armor or evasion or like attacks, right? That's more of a fundamental, you know, it's in it across the game. It's in the tree. It's in your gear. It's in ascendancies. It's everywhere. Right. And they didn't focus on that for this patch, which really confuses me because I feel like, you know, focusing on skills, you know, that does make sense. But I feel like when 030 comes out, we're going to have all the skill issues again. I feel like that bomb is going to drop every single time.
Yeah.
And from a game developer POV, I'm trying to think why they wouldn't want to get the fundamentals in place first. Like, okay, here's armor. Here's what we wanted to do. Here's the formula. We're standing our ground. Like, I feel like they've done that with evasion and everything. Right?
I think partially because armor actually feels fine. Armor actually feels fine in the campaign.
Very true. I stacked out of armor in the campaign.
Yeah, I think it's actually fine in the campaign. So I should probably, you know, caveat with that. And I think that's probably why they would say it's fine. But then it's funny because this patch focused on the end game.
Right.
And right. there was no change or buff or way to increase your life with armor. Yeah. And so I was like, when I watched the reveal, I sat there waiting for the what they were going to do with armor and life. Like, literally, they're waiting for it. I'm like, what are they going to do with armor? And then there was nothing. And I was like, oh no, that sucks, because that just means all that gear is not as good now. You know, like,
exactly.
all that gear that we're looting and farm. Because, like, if you're playing in Trade League too, right? If you find a really good armor, you might be like, oh, sweet, like, this is worth something. I'm not using it, but it really doesn't even do that. Like, it's right now, the most valuable things are armor or energy shield and evasion energy shield, like armors right. and helmets.
Think you about know? How good it's going to feel when armor's awesome, though, Michael.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to feel so good.
I think it'll happen. Yeah, I think it'll happen. But then the other thing, too, process. Is the mace skills themselves. They feel really slow and stuff. It's okay. really hard to make, like, a melee build. Melee, in general, still is at such a disadvantage, I feel like, in this game. Just think about the rares, you know, like you go into a T15 map, there's ground effects all over. They have the bubble that slows you and you're in there and you're like, whoa, you know, whereas like if you're a ranged character, you just step back and just kill them, you know,
temporal like, proximity, Michael, proximal, come on. Okay, yeah. Well,
proximal tangent. So that they have to put that in there though, because if they don't, then the ranged My character bad. Has every advantage all the time. So yeah, I do feel like melee still is. Like, this was the game that was supposed to fix melee for ARPGs, remember? Like, that was kind of like 100%. What they were marketing. Like, we had to make a new game so that we could make melee good. And then melee was rough, you know? It
Three
was
melee
rough.
Weapons now. So it was mace and quarterstaff on launch. Now we have spear, which is kind of, I would argue, a quarterstaff, hella good. Mace?
Yeah.
We got, man, I am so curious to see what the heck swords and axes are, daggers? Dude,
yeah.
I wonder if it's a matter of like
daggers will be fine because that'll be an evasion energy shield type.
True, very true. So and
if
chaos.
They put that in next, you know? If they put that in next, it'll fit right in.
Very
right
true. Now, very you know? True.
Yeah, they won't have to update anything else. They could just put the daggers in the shadow or whatever. You know,
it's gonna be so curious to see how they play and how like if I'm sure people, some people will still enjoy the weighty, very slow mace. But I feel like they should have put like maybe three archetypes into the game to start out, because I think a big problem with maces still is that they fulfill the meaty, impactful one large hit or a few small hits in 5 second time playstyle and nothing else. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's basically what they do. And you can play that or like quarterstaffs, and then there's no other real option, right?
Yeah, I mean, quarterstaff felt so much better to me every time.
Felt good.
Every time. Like, good. The leap attack was cool if you used that and then blinked right after. Mm-hmm. You can go, whoop, and you can clear all the distance.
Yep.
That's cool. But it didn't. Yeah, the maces.
Sales.
I get what they're going for in that. Yeah. I feel like there needs to be something that makes you feel tankier, though, when you're using a two-hander. Like, A lot of things, people commented on my videos about armor and they were like, you have to use a shield. And I was like, that doesn't fix armor.
Mm-hmm.
Using a shield is block. That's basically evasion. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're basically evading. So that's just evasion. So like, I was like, you have to fix armor. You can't just add a shield. That doesn't fix armor. So like, what I was trying to say is like, if you're playing a hulking dude with all this armor on and a big two-handed mace, like, he should have some kind of, like, guard effect in the wind-up or something. Because, you know, the charms have guard effect as a mod?
They do. Yep.
Could they not add that to, like, the mace or something? Like, I don't know. What would that help?
You think like I do. I said that to Jonathan in March of 2024 after I played Warrior. As the resident PoE2 Glazer, I was a huge ass to Jonathan. When I played PoE2 for the first time, I played Warrior for 4 hours. I found one rare item in 4 hours, and I got mobbed in the old forest. Back when the wolves used to be, the werewolves were terrible. And I was like, dude, this feels so bad. This is horrible. Can we get super armor during Roll and Slam? Like, what's going on? They did add a support gem, I believe, that does that now. But the thing is, that's all it does. We need the support gem kind of for the, if it's our primary damage skill. Yeah. You don't really want to get rid of that. I think there's something in there that boosts your armor massively. But then again, it's not guard, it's armor. And again,
there's Yeah, and ours are great. There's armor, and then there's stun threshold and ailment threshold supports and all that. I know, but like, I'm just saying, like, there should be some. There should be a couple mace skills that, like, that if they get interrupted, if you watch your life pool just drop every time you use it, maybe they should consider adding in a bit of guard effect or something, or like,
it's fortify from PoE 1, which also,
I don't know. Fortify, sure, whatever, whatever you want to call it. Like, there's got to be something to make you have this two-handed thing and be like, and then it just, like, doesn't, and you actually can, like, tank it, and, like, you know, it does not feel good to wind up and then, like, all your life is gone.
That's true.
You
know, on
so, like I said, though, in the campaign, armor seems to work pretty good, like, but once you get to the end game, you start getting mobbed, they start doing multiple damage types, it's really hard. That's the other thing, too, I would like to say is that the mapping, dude, like, so the randomness of the Atlas, as well as the enemy types that are in the biomes, makes it so that you basically have to make sure you just have everything covered build.
Okay. Yeah.
You can't just, like, it's not like you go onto this part of the Atlas and it's like a fire lava biome and there's lots of fire enemies there and there's lots of, so I'm going to scale my fire res and I can go over there and do that and not so worry so much about cold res, you know, like there's nothing like that. It's always like any enemy type seems to be in a lot of these biomes. Some of them have specific ones, but in the rares and everything always have like differing types of damage. So like, if you don't have all the bases covered, you just like can't map, you know?
Yes.
Like,
I understand what you're saying.
Like, and one thing that made me enjoy mapping a bit more in the first patch was creating alternate characters and then dropping them in for certain things, actually.
Interesting.
So, like, so I had a character that was good at ritual, you know? And so I would find a ritual, put a town portal, exit, reload the new character, go into my hideout, enter portal, I'm at the ritual with the ritual character. And then
there'd be a boss.
What?
I don't got time for that. I understand the strat. Yeah, that makes sense.
No, but that's what I was doing, and that made me enjoy it because I was so like, I was like, man, my character sucks at this, you know?
Right.
Or like, I had a character for breach, and then I had a character for bossing, which was totally broken. I abused the trample toe like thing.
I heard just, about like, that.
Yeah, because I got sick of losing everything in the first patch, so so I was like, well, if they want to make it that hard, then I might as well just one shot Arbiter, like, who cares? Because it's like, and I did beat him fair and square the first time, like, I actually did the mechanics, okay?
Good.
I did it
good, ethical.
But like, but then every time after that and any boss after that I had juiced all the way up, you know,
right,
I was just like, I don't care anymore because losing the map feels so bad I'd rather just load in my like cast on dodge chronomancer and just watch the dude die in one hit, you know? So I don't like that the game, the balance, this is back to the beginning of the conversation.
Yeah.
The balance is incentivizing broken builds.
Oh yeah, it is. Like with Lightning Spear. Yeah. That's the whole thing is just because how monsters are balanced and what you need to do is delete monsters, screenfuls monsters very quickly. Lightning Spear. It's doing it right. Unless you have Giga Gear or.
Dude, yeah. It's too much like Diablo 2 in that regard. Diablo 2 has a build called the Javazon, and it's literally the Amazon, and she throws a lightning spear, and it splits and blows up the screen.
So this was intentional.
It's exactly the same. It's exactly the same.
They were trying to fulfill that fantasy really, really hard, and they just went a little overboard. I think 53% of all characters are like lightning spear right now.
Yeah, it's just like Diablo 2. Like, half the player base was playing that build in Diablo 2 as well.
Oh, my.
And it's funny because the first league, the best character was like a spark sorceress, like a lightning sorceress, you know?
Lightning again, man. Yep.
And that is also meta in Diablo 2, lightning sorceress. So I was sitting there going, it's a little bit too much like Diablo 2, guys. Like, I mean, I love Diablo 2, but like, can we get something else going here?
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. I can't believe that. Yeah. I've been reading the chat and apparently Grindgear Games announced that there is going to be a, I think it's supposed to be a sizable patch at the end of the week now. It was supposed to be the first half of this week. Now it's the end of the week. Michael, any predictions on what might be in the patch? I think they said there was going to be loot changes, which we talked a little bit about. Then there's going to be progression changes in the end game, specifically toward pinnacles. Do you have any predictions on what might be happening there?
Well, that's good. I don't know if I have exact prediction, but I'll just tell you where I'm at with mine, and that would probably tell you what I think. So I'm level 88, and it still says for me to complete a tier 6 Nexus.
Bro, me too. Oh my gosh, bestie. Let's go.
I kind of like got sidetracked. I guess the best thing you should do is just do low tier and just go through all the Nexus, but I don't know. I didn't really like that. And then the other thing too is I've been doing mostly ritual and expedition. And I still haven't gotten any Atlas points in it. I didn't trade for anything. I just wanted to see if I could find it. I cannot find it. Cannot find the logbook that'll get me Ulroth. Cannot find an invitation to the king. Here's what I think. Yep. What if they made the initial bubble or circle of the Atlas a little more deterministic so that you could like, oh, if you go this way, the ritual boss is there. If you go this way, Ulroth is there. And that way you can at least get your first point. And then once you expand out of that bubble, you are now in the randomness of the Atlas or something. Like, there's just so you can be like, I want to do ritual this league, and then you're like, okay, so I'll go that way and hit the rituals, get Ulroth, or not Ulroth, you know, the king of the mist or whatever, and then I'll start I can actually start building it. It's so RNG based right now, it's so hard to find.
I like that. I really like that. I almost putting the first encounters with each as physical places on the map, and maybe you do your first ritual, right? And you know how now you get a tablet from Akuwatsa, I'm sorry, I don't remember the name. You get a tablet from somebody, and they're like, oh yeah, go find more rituals. And maybe that starts the ritual quest, and it doesn't have to be a yellow brick road, but it's like, oh, and then poof, this beam appears, you know, like two screens away, and it's then like, you got a map, this is the king of the mist. And then after that, it's the current system. I feel, bro, GGG, it's a good idea. Do it, guys.
Just in the beginning. So you just like create a circle in the beginning where you start. It's very deterministic.
Yeah.
Very deterministic. And then after that, have your randomness thing start going on. I don't know how hard that is to develop, but whatever.
I do like that. Yeah, for the tier zeros that you have infinite chances on, I feel like you should funnel people to these locations and have them playable once. Then it's random. It will get people hooked.
Like, I haven't found it at all. Like, and I'm playing the game probably more than the average like person who's already stopped playing it. Right. So like if I can't find it, you know, it's like, you know, and I'm like someone who is this league. I'm someone who is in between, like someone who's pretty invested and also like not playing as much this league. You know.
Me too. Yep.
Yeah,
okay. I'm level 86. So like you're right around the same area. One character.
It seems like I should have found something by now, like that, to like boost my league mechanic that I've been investing or trying to invest in. I just can't, you know. So I think they need. So that's my prediction, is a little bit more determinism for maybe some of these league mechanics.
I think that's a great idea. I like the bubble one. Anything to talk about regarding loot? Maybe potential changes to how the wisps and how they buff drops. You think that's going to happen? Or just base currency? Have you had luck with currency at all? I've been very unlucky.
So, I mean, I think I've dropped like 4 divine on the mapping. And
what?
I don't know.
No way. Zero.
It's not zero, yeah. And that's not a lot compared to like other people that are like really, really into this. You know, like they're just like, if they don't get a divine every hour, they're upset type thing, you know? So like, I don't know. But like my gear and stuff, honestly, I don't know if I'm super lucky or whatever, but my gear is like good. And a lot of it I found myself, which is like, not what other people are experiencing, you know? My body armor on my monk has over 1,000 evasion and over 400 energy shield.
Yeah. I saw that. That's a really nice piece.
And I found that in a ritual, and then and dropped the other one, recombinated it, and then exalted it. And I was like, that was cool. You know, like that felt pretty good.
Yep.
Like I liked that. I actually really like the recombinator a lot. At first, I thought the chances were too low, but then I kind of figured out that you can improve them by getting the right item levels and stuff.
Exactly.
And
making sure.
Yeah. So once I realized that, I used it a bit better and it was more fun.
Yeah, I learned that from Sir Gog. He was like, people are doing this wrong. This is actually the right way, and it becomes way better. And I had an aha moment, like, oh, wow. Good to know, good to know.
Yeah.
All right, well, Michael, dude, that freaking flew by. It's already
it's, 10 o'clock. Oh yeah, it's 10 o'clock.
That was crazy. Yeah. It's so awesome to always talk with you, man. This was a good chat. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on? You know, PoE2 wise or otherwise?
I don't know. I mean, I just have some videos up right now, like discussing things like how temporal chains is really brutal right now.
I appreciated your solutions, but I think it's just too much.
Yeah. Here's another idea I had after the video was like, what if there was like a witch in the map that's casting the curse on the entire map? And if you killed her, it just takes it away.
That is interesting.
And that's cool. But if you do that map, it like drastically buffs your rarity or your quantity or your experience.
Hmm.
That way, a temporal chains map, you might be like, ooh, that might be nice because I'll get a bunch of XP or something, you know?
I like the witch idea, dude. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That way
it won't be so brutal. The first one I had, by the way, was on, I didn't realize how bad it was going to be. And I put it into, it was like, what was it? It was in a tower or something. Yeah, I did it on a tower.
Oh, no.
And it was the first tower I encountered. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do all the mods. So I get all the precursor tablets and everything. I go in there and my guy's like moving at a snail's pace. I'm like, what is happening? And so I got through the whole thing. It took forever. The boss at the end was brutal. You know, it was I couldn't move. Somehow I defeated it, you know, and then afterwards I was like, why is temporal chain so bad? Like, why is it so rough? This is crazy, you know?
Buffed it.
Anyway, there needs to be a reason to do it, though, is what I'm saying.
I like it. I like the witch idea, dude. That's really cool.
Yeah, kill the witch. The curse goes away for the whole map. Also, you get a buff for doing it. So, like, maybe it can be rough because you can't find the witch right away. Mm. You know, maybe you place her, maybe you can put her icon on the mini map just so you can get to her first. But like maybe she's on the other side of the map, you know, so you might need some boots that give you no movement speed penalty or something.
Yes, Wanderlust. Like yep.
Yeah, Wanderlust.
Wanderlust.
Yep. Yes. Wanderlust. You like that, yeah?
Yeah, that's a really good idea, man. I actually, even a witch or like attached to a rare is just some interplay besides it just being a pure negative, right? Of course, it adds some quant to your waystone, waystone quantity, but it's still like just terrible. 22%
The quantity to waystone thing, I think, no longer applies with the changes they've made to this patch for waystones. I don't think that it's as necessary.
Yeah.
In the first patch, you literally had to start your mapping experience by putting points into waystone quantity.
Yes.
Just so you could get enough waste. Like you never had enough when you first started. And then eventually you had so much you didn't know what to do with it, right?
Mm-hmm. I haven't experienced that yet. Have you at all?
No. This is way better this time. Like you kill the boss, you get one. I love that. That's great. A lot. The rare drops it at the end of each map.
See,
that's
I thought
good.
That was a 100% chance, but apparently it trails off as you get closer to T15s.
Oh, I guess I didn't notice.
I know. I didn't notice until I started not getting waystones from bosses. And I was like, whoa, hey, GGG, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then my friend linked me. Actually, it trails off as you get closer to T15s. So don't go to GGG just yet. You know.
Okay.
I was just lucky up until then, like, because I literally, same with you, every boss was dropping a next tier waystone. I was like, man, this feels good. I'm hopping from tiers.
Yeah.
And then it just stopped and I got chucked back to T13s. It was sad.
Yeah. But. Yeah. So I think, I don't know. I guess there was just other things that, like, it'd be nice if, like, I know a lot of people from the PoE1 community and, like, other creators that you've talked to on the podcast. Like, I know, like, Local Hall has always been like, where's the crafting bench?
That was good. I'll send it to him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's always like, what are you doing, GGG? Like, put it in there, you know? Uh-huh. And coming from Diablo 2 and not playing PoE1, I don't really know what I'm missing, except that now I kind of understand. If you're not because the gear is so tight,
it's very tight.
If you can't exchange anything, it's so hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of get like, I'm kind of on board with that now. Like, yeah, put the crafting bench in, I guess.
It's problem that they had in PoE1 with sockets and it being so just difficult when you're leveling to just equip a different piece of gear because you needed to make sure you had the proper sockets for your skill gems. But now it's with attributes and gear and skill gems. Yeah. So I feel like I think 15% just to start with, lowering the attribute requirements, not just on skill gems, but on items as well, So yeah. Spears were ridiculous while leveling, man. I don't know if you went spear while leveling or if you were quarterstaff and then
I did. I did both the entire time. But the build that you have uploaded most recently is what I've been playing the whole time.
Yeah, whole time. Okay, so you're swapping. Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like just the lowering up there and just seeing like still make they're still meaningful, right? But it's not so egregious that if you swap out one piece of gear, it just Fs over your entire build. So that's a feel bad moment. That's like a, I can imagine that being a quit moment. If somebody finds an amazing piece of gear, you know, they go to equip it and then they realize, oh, you can't use this skill gem. Oh, you can't use this piece of gear anymore. Oh, it collapses their build because that happens.
Yeah, I think what you have to do in that instance too is like if you're playing on Trade League, it's essentially you have to go shopping for all your gear slots now, right? And I don't know if that's great, you know?
It's not. It's a bad feeling.
Yeah.
I can speak from experience, it's Michael.
It's fine to like look on the trade site for like, is there something that would like really help me out here? Like on the one slot, you know, like whatever. But like for every piece, just because you got a new item, that's kind of rough.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no, yeah, I don't know. I hope that they consider those kinds of things. You know, and I'm somebody too, like with loot and stuff, I pick up more items probably than the average player. Like I will transmute, augment white items, you know, like it's just on the fly while I'm running through. And I do that all the time. And that's kind of how I found a lot of my gear, actually. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have as much of a problem gearing, but I think I pick up a lot more items than most people. And I think Jonathan does too.
Oh,
because Jonathan is like, I don't know, like he basically says things feel fine to him when he plays, you know?
See, the thing, I don't know how much of the end game he plays. That's the thing. I think the campaign.
I think it feels
pretty darn good. I would agree. Like when it first came out, Dawn of the Hunt, I was honest then. I still feel the same way now. I understand that there were obviously a lot of issues that I just have a bad memory, but it felt like launch day. That's just what it felt like. It felt like, okay, yeah, this is a brutal campaign. I'm having to really think about these fights. The monsters are tanky and it felt fine to me. It just felt the same, but obviously there were a lot of problems like with mobs being too tanky and all that crap.
Yeah, they had more life and stuff. I missed that a bit because I came in. I didn't start the character till a few days later.
Oh, you didn't even experience it. I don't know. Like it felt normal to me, but a lot of people called it out and were like, this is crazy. Yeah. It's way overblown. Yeah. So
I kind of missed that. But like in terms of just leveling a fresh character, it felt exactly the same as the first patch.
Okay.
Like the progression. It was kind of slow at first. I had nothing. I was doing no damage until I got a couple upgrades. It definitely felt the same to me. And I remember thinking the same thing, actually. Like, I saw a lot of people complaining about it. And I remember thinking, like, wasn't everyone complaining in the first patch, too, that it was too slow?
A good chunk of people the first few days were. And then it trailed off. And then people were, you know, praising the campaign and saying how great it was.
Yeah.
This time that didn't have, it just stayed, this is trash.
People were really upset. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think they should take that feedback seriously, though. Like, even though maybe people weren't saying it in the nicest of terms, they should probably think, all right, we need to, because, you know, people are going to want to come back and play these leagues again every few months. And if their memory of the campaign is that it's such a slog, they're going to think twice about playing a new character, right?
Yep.
Like they might be like, do I really feel like spending 35 hours on a 6-act campaign? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of busy. You know, like I don't know. So I don't mind if it takes a little bit longer because I kind of enjoy the campaign, but I don't think people agree with me. You know,
you are totally, a lot of people really want campaign skip too. I'm anti that.
Anti that as well.
Yeah, I'm fine if it ends up being shorter. It's good, but. I just want it to be fun. I really do. And if it's shorter, I'm not a it needs to be super long stand or anything. I just want it to be engaging and fun and not like a steamroll easy thing. I want to be actually fighting the bosses and some of the mobs and hit power spikes and just smoothly progress to endgame, which I don't know. They'll probably get close to that. It's really hard to tell what it's going to feel like until all 6 acts are out, honestly. Like,
yeah,
because the power spike is just so wild in Act 4 right now, or you know, cruel Act 1. So
cruel, it's not quite right, but they definitely got to tweak it. And I am excited for the new item types because I actually found a lot of the spear skills to be really cool.
Oh yeah.
They're
like well designed.
Swords and all that. Yeah. Like I think, and I actually like a lot of the applications some of them have. You know, like the one I'm using, the whirlwind one. Mm-hmm. That one's cool. It slows, it blinds, it explodes if you leave it. It picks up ground effects. It empowers twisters, you know.
I couldn't do the twister thing. That looked too wild. You're playing with twisters quite a bit, but you're also using other skills.
Yeah, I'm using Primal Strikes, Twisters, Whirlwind.
Primal Strikes is awesome. I freaking love that skill. Yeah,
Gathering Storm and Frozen Locust and Shattering Palm. Like I'm using all of that and it all synergizes.
Yeah.
Actually, like all of it works together. It's actually kind of sweet. And then and I kind of wish there was more of that even. Like I wish more skills could interact with each other. That was kind of what I was anticipating when they first started marketing the game. You know, it's like a flame wall with the arrow going through it.
Right. Right.
Like I thought like, oh, all the skills are going to have something like that. Like everything is going to have an interaction, but it's not really like that.
No.
There's some that do, but not everything.
Yeah. It works really well with the spear. The spear really feels designed from the ground up with all that in mind, with all the combinations.
Yeah,
a lot of them do work. So, yeah, I can't wait to try a few more because I've honed in on this lightning spear with Primal Strikes, Thundering Leap, and Storm Lance, and I've really been enjoying it. I really wanted to make Fangs of Frost work, but I bounced from that because you need to really get the best from it. You need a parry charge, right? Not frenzy. You need to parry something and then hit that parried foe with the melee attack, which makes it kind of rough because I'm not. I don't have great reaction time, so I can't like parry constantly. I'll try to find a way to make it work because it's a very satisfying skill, especially once you get that charge pop off. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to play around. I haven't played around with that yet, actually.
It's cool. It's really cool.
But I'll have to try. My brother did do a lot of the parry mechanics through the campaign, and he liked it. He liked it a lot, actually. Okay. But then in the end game, it just wasn't really working out very well. Yeah.
Yeah. Really quickly flies off.
Yeah.
Well, man, this has been fantastic. Everybody watching, make sure you go check out Off Meta Michael's channel on YouTube. You're going to be posting videos pretty consistently for the next while, Michael?
Yeah, I'm going to be trying to and just getting out more discussion points, ideas, just like feeling out what people think about certain things that need to change to make the game more fun, more balanced. Those are kind of the themes: balance, fun, build diversity. You know?
Awesome. Love it. Yeah, I've been really enjoying them, listening to them when I hop on work in the morning, man. And I hope you get a surge of subscribers. I'm going to link your channel in the chat and YouTube and Twitch right when we hop off. Thank you so much for hopping on, dude. I really appreciate it. This
was
great
fun. Thanks for having me, man. You're always so gracious and nice and to talk to, so thanks.
100% you too. It flew by, and it's quite late. I had a long day, and it was just really chill. I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
All right, have a good one. Bye-bye.
You too. All right, bye.